Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ child. Amen. What an honor and privilege to be able to speak a word from God through His Word. And realizing this is the last time, I'm thinking, boy, Pastor Vern, can't you think of something more profound to talk about? Well, no, I can't. So this is it. Let every heart prepare him room is the title. When you've lived as long as I have, you've most likely seen many, many nativity reenactments of the Christmas story. And not to be redundant, but let's hear just that part again. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. If I'm reading Luke's account faithfully, it sounds like there was only one Motel 6 in town. No Hilton, no Drury Inn, no Marriott Garden Inn, only one place to stay for travelers. I'm guessing that Mary and Joseph had to travel a bit slower, as their only means was a donkey who was charged with carrying Mary and her infant child-to-be. So, being in her third trimester, the mothers will know that's a difficult time. Well, why Joseph and Mary were not able to call some siblings or distant relatives, we can only surmise. Possibly their relatives' homes were already full from other family members who had come into town to be registered. Possibly they had heard of Mary's pregnancy and were ashamed to let this unmarried couple bunk up in their house. Unlike today, there was shame equated with conceiving a child out of wedlock. There's an hint, let's say, that Jesus was considered an illegitimate son of Joseph. In John chapter 8, which the Pharisees exploited, Jesus had been calling them out for their reprehensible teachings and actions, seeking then to murder him when he had done nothing wrong, but he spoke the truth. They protested, saying, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father," meaning the devil. And then comes the shameful accusation. They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." It seems obvious that they heard from others about the miraculous conception between the Holy Spirit and Mary, and spared no restraint trying to shame him. Well, regardless of the rumors and accusations that may have accompanied Jesus throughout his life, some true, some misunderstood, like in this case, some distorted, this couple charged with bringing Jesus into the world come to Bethlehem, and they've got nowhere to stay. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And there she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, an animal's feeding trough, because there was no place for them in the end. It's hard to imagine that the Lord, who created the universe by his mere speaking of the word, who held the waters in the palm of his hand, who created the plants and animals that inhabit the earth, had such a humble reception when he arrived as an infant child. Here's something to consider and contemplate this Christmas Eve. Do we have room in our hearts for Christ? Are we preoccupied with family members who have come into our homes for the Christmas holiday, or worried about how we're going to feed them all? The truth is, we all know something about making room for others, but what about Jesus? One of the real charming traditions that comes from days gone by, still observed by some families, is the designation of a Christmas room in the house. In older homes, that room was often a parlor or the dining room. And this Christmas room was closed off to the family by the parents for days, maybe even weeks before Christmas Eve. And it was decorated by a parent, a grandparent, or other designated adult with beautiful seasonal drapings, nativity scenes, greens, and poinsettias. And most centrally, a Christmas tree, which frequently had fragile and costly heirloom ornaments on it. This room was set aside to remind all in the house to make room in their lives for the coming of Jesus, the Christ child. Jesus came to earth and now lives enthroned in heaven. He no longer needs a room to occupy, just a heart in which to abide. Tonight, I know you're here because you want to make room for the holy infant Jesus. Tonight, the room in our hearts is filled with the joyful assurance of Christ, that Christ has come to fill our world and our lives with his love and his joy and his peace. In this well-loved paraphrase of Psalm 98, Isaac Watts writes, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare a room." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, the first Christmas night was anything but peaceful for you and your family. We can only imagine how tired your beloved earthly parents were, not from decorating their home or shopping for gifts or cooking Christmas meals for the family, but they were exhausted from the long and arduous trip to Bethlehem. How unthinkable that there was no room in the inn for the Son of God who had come to us. You deserve so much more. But that was your will. You came to identify with the poor and lowly in order to give them hope. You came as God in the flesh, but didn't count equality with God something to be grasped. But you emptied yourself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form. You humbled yourself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. No surprise then, having taken on human form, there would be no place for you to find comfort. But you were pleased to be welcomed and warmly comforted by your Father, who located a place, though it was an animal stall, and your mother Mary, who lovingly wrapped you in swaddling cloths and laid you, the Son of God, in a manger. Lord Jesus, we too are poor in spirit, and we so need for you to come to us. Open our hearts to receive you with the welcome you deserve. Come and abide with us, Emmanuel. Be our God with us. To you alone be honor and praise with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.